I think one of the most important topics we can talk about is the concept of toxic mimic. And I got that phrase when I was writing Endgame, so sometime between 2004 and 2006, from a friend, and it just seemed immediately applicable to almost everything. And a toxic mimic is something that takes the form and completely perverts the content of the thing itself. And there are just, you know, millions of examples of forestry departments. And they call themselves forestry departments. They teach people how to deforest. Bright green environmentalism calls itself bright green environmentalism. And it's really about another wave of industrialism with the industrial wind, industrial solar. There are bazillions of examples. One example would be and this is a fairly harsh example, but I guess it's not any more harsh than deforesting entire planets, but rape is a toxic mimic. It takes the form of sex and changes the content completely into an act of hate. And toxic mimics, one of the reasons they're really important, they're ubiquitous in an abusive relationship. And part of the reason for this is that if in a healthy sort of relationship, one is open to, one gains one's inspiration and one's actions from the relationship itself and from from life itself. And relationships really are synergistic in that they build on each other. The different components of it build on each other to make something greater than the whole. Which is why I always hated that Who song that had the line, one and one don't make two, one and one make one. Actually, one and one makes three in a relationship. And part of the problem is that in an abusive relationship, the abuser is isolated, has cut themselves off from those sources of energy, cut themselves off from the other people, and that energy has to come from somewhere, and it comes from then exploiting these others as opposed to being in relationship with them. And this is, we can see this in, you know, all sorts of movements to exploit that as they get bigger. And I'm gonna sort of jump a different direction for a second and talk about the society of the spectacle. And something that I was introduced to, not so much through the original writing, Geeta Bord, but instead through Randy Schilt's book, And the Band Played On. And there's a part in that book where he's talking, but the book is about the AIDS crisis in the 80s. And he writes in there a little bit about the bathhouse culture and how even in the face of this death sentence that was AIDS, a lot of people continued to participate. And yeah, it's mainly about how the political response was completely insufficient at best and murderous at worst. And at the same time, he talks about how in the face of this epidemic, bathhouse business continued. And there's one line in there where he thinks that there is somebody sitting in a sling with an amputee rubbing his arm against the other guy's behind and thinks, well, that's weird. And then he realizes that instead the guy is put his arm up to the elbow inside the other guy's colon. And he comments on that if you remove all relationality from sex, it can get pretty boring. And the stimulation has to come from someone. If you cut yourself off from the real source of stimulation, which is which is always emotional interaction, then the stimulation has to become greater and greater and greater to make up for the lack of emotional stimulation. And the same thing is true on every level. We see it, you start off with people playing football, and then more and more, and now you've got to have all sorts of increasing spectacle to make it still interesting. You have to have fireworks and jumbotrons, and everything builds up. The long and short of it is that if you're in an abusive relationship, whether that is a larger social one or a personal one, you will be immersed in toxic mimics. And this morning when I got up, I looked out the window and I saw two bears lying on the ground. One of them was asleep on his side, and the other one was curled up down around the lower half of the other one's body and had his head on the first one's hip as a pillow. And that was a wonderful and delightful thing. And I bring it up because zoos are toxic mimics of seeing wild animals. That there you see a wild animal in a cage and it can't leave. You can't have a normal relationship with it any more than you could have a normal relationship with someone who is stuck in a human who is stuck in a cell. And you know, I've listed a couple of toxic mimics, the foresters or deforesters. You know, we have Fish and Wildlife Services that is supposed to be about fish and wildlife, but people have to sue Fish and Wildlife in order to get them to protect endangered species. And even then, I was just talking to somebody this last week that the first thing you have to do is you file a petition to list, or I believe it's, anyway, the first thing you do is file a petition, and the Fish and Wildlife Service has 90 days to respond to the petition. And 5 years later, they are still having to sue about buffalo to get them declared an endangered species, the Yellowstone buffalo, and the buffalo, well, it's not just Yellowstone buffalo, it's buffalo, wild native buffalo. And Fish and Wildlife Service has still not responded 5 years later. And that's absolutely typical. You have the United States Forest Service, for the most part, on Forest Service lands, is about deforestation. And this, again, is ubiquitous. And I think about this with, this is something we've all experienced, where you have organizations that are, environmentalism has turned into a toxic mimic of environmentalism. At one point, environmentalism was about protecting wild places and wild beings, and it has become about sustaining this culture. That's a toxic mimic. Feminism has become a toxic mimic of feminism. That at one point, feminism was about liberating women. Feminism was strongly opposed to, for example, pornography, prostitution, other forms of abuse of women, abuse of children, and third wave feminism is a toxic mimic of feminism. I can't think of many better examples of toxic mimics than the whole transgender ideology movement, where they take the form. So they're arguing that if you put on lipstick and a dress, that means you're a woman. That is the form, the social form of a woman, but it doesn't make you a woman. And it's the same with the females who identify as male. If they cut off their breasts and they make a non-functioning penis out of forearm skin, that doesn't, it's a toxic mimic of a penis on a toxic mimic of a man. And that's what this culture does. That's what anything does that is, look at healthcare. Healthcare has become a toxic mimic of healthcare. It's about making a lot of money and prolonging life, and sometimes using medicines that make us sick. And it's one of the most toxic. It's an extraordinary thing that healthcare is an incredibly toxic industry, not just for the individuals, but for society as a large. I mean, what sense does it make to have an industry that creates all sorts of toxic waste that makes other people sick? So then you can. Part of the problem with the whole toxic mimic thing is that once you disconnect from the source of life, then you toxic mimics can be internally consistent, but the original premise is insane. The original premise is disconnected. So if you're asking, how can we maximize the removal of board feet from a forest, then you're going to get insane answers that are a toxic mimic of how can we attend to the health of the forest. And this is true across all of these. And, you know, I don't know what the solution to toxic mimics is. I just know that it's important to call them out when you see them, to address them. Truth is the best antidote to toxic mimics, I know, but the problem is that those who are perpetuating the toxic mimic are not going to stop merely because you point it out. You're not working to stop them, or you are ultimately working to stop them, but you're not working for and with them because they are disconnected in the first place and perpetrating the toxic mimic. What you do by exposing a toxic mimic is you attempt to help others to not fall into the trap of accepting the toxic mimic as a regular part of life and accepting the toxic mimic for the thing that it is not.